About 3 decades ago, I went to a convention in which Mother Angelica spoke. Many of you have heard of her from EWTN. But in those days, she was completely unknown. But she was the guest speaker, and she only got out of her monastery 3 times a year, and she was there. And she told this story of how she said because she was the Mother Superior, people would come and ask her for advice or to settle disputes. And so this woman comes up to her and says, "Mother, I want you to help us settle an argument between my sister and myself." And so Mother said, "Before we begin, are you willing to accept my advice? Will you both agree to abide by my decision?" And she says, "Yes, we will." So she said, "Tell me about it." She said, "Well, it's an argument about an inheritance." And if you've been in that situation, it's nothing like an inheritance to make everybody love each other in the family. You know, this is a real story. You know, you can hear this happening in the gospel. And she says, "Well, our mother died, and we've divided up most of the furniture, and everything's fine. I love my sister, but we're arguing over a piece of furniture, and you can't split it up. How can we handle this?" And Mother says, "Well, what exactly is it that you're fighting over?" She says, "Well, it's, let me describe it to you. It's a 19th century ivory, inlaid, ornate, hand-carved, one-of-a-kind commode." And Mother said, "What do you mean? You know, you can see her, you know. What do you mean, a commode?" And she says, "You know, a commode." She said, "You mean a commode? The kind you sit on?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "You're arguing over a toilet." So Mother stopped for a minute. You know, she's quite a Mother Superior in a big habit. It's quite a formidable sight, you know. And she, to her, and she says, "You go tell your sister, since you both agreed to abide by my decision, you go tell your sister that you and her are going to take turns sticking your head in it." I love that story. I heard that 30 years ago. I've got it on tape, actually. Oh, yeah, I love that story. And Jesus has a kind of a similar situation. You remember last week, Martha comes up to Jesus, and her sister's on the couch again, and Martha's doing all the work, and she comes up and snitches on Mary finally. She says, "Tell my sister to help me." And Jesus, of course, takes Mary's side and not the snitch, right? And it's very upsetting, I think, to most people to hear that when you think about it. This is very similar. Here's a victim. These days, everybody's a victim, you know, of something. But this guy has really been cheated. His brother took all the money. I'm assuming they're two men because women usually didn't inherit in those days. So it's probably two guys. And for some reason, the brother took it all. He was the executor of the will, and he took advantage of it. Or, you know what happens with money? It's amazing what people will do to break their family relationships for money. And here's Jesus. Here is the King of Kings. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He is going to judge each individual soul. He will judge you and me. We're all going to be there probably sooner than we think. And what does he say to this man? He is all justice and all mercy. He looks at him and he says, "Oh, so who appointed me to be your judge and jury and lawyer? I think I would be really, I'd probably fall over if God, Christ said that to me. I've been treated unjustly by this person. They stole my money on the internet." And he says, "Well, who appointed me to be the judge of this?" So right away, Christ is pushing our buttons. This is not an easy story. Is he saying we should live with the injustice? No. He stepped away from the argument altogether. He said, "You guys are looking at this from the wrong perspective. Don't get sucked into this man's sin. He's committed a sin. Now, don't you be greedy. Why are you asking this? What's in your heart? Why are you desiring this so deeply? He wants this man to think. I was thinking about some of the injustices. Many of us have had an inheritance fight, or you will. I've certainly heard a lot of them. Sometimes they come in the form of a parent will die and they'll remarry, and some of the kids think that they married a gold digger. You may have experienced this. It happens in families a lot. Or one favored child somehow gets more than the others and everybody resents it, expects this person to share, and they say, "Oh no, it's mine legally." And that's the last you hear of them until the next death in the family. But it happens in other ways. For example, you're at work and you apply for a promotion, and a person that's younger than you and less qualified gets the job because they're more handsome or prettier, or because they kiss up to the boss, or they interview better. And you think, "Lord, that's no fair. I really prayed. I'm your friend. This is unjust." Or, "I'm always sick, and my sister is well. Why am I the one that always gets sick?" Or, "My neighbor has such a happy marriage, and I'm always struggling with mine. My friend has a 5,000 square foot house. He doesn't work. He's retired at age 50. I'm going to be working at Walmart when I'm 95 years old. It's not fair." No offense to Walmart. They have very friendly greeters. I'll say that before. And see, these things come up in our lives a lot. And you and I have both brought them to the Lord, haven't we? And what does He say? The first thing He says to us, if you're listening, He says it to me. He says, first of all, do you recognize who you're talking to? I was a victim of injustice, and I kept my mouth shut. Now that we understand each other, I invite you, as He invited this man, to see things in a different way. He says, now, like St. Paul says in the second reading, your lives are now with Christ, for you have died. I've got news for you. You're all baptized. You have died. Your life is now with Christ. And allow the Spirit to lift you off the plane of the earthly existence when you are really, really cheated by something. You have been dealt a terrible wrong. I had laryngitis 3 times this year, as you all know. And one priest came on a 2-hour notice. God love him. I was very grateful for that. And I was talking to somebody this week, and I told him this, and he says, "You know, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I've never had a case of hoarseness or laryngitis in my life." I wanted to kill him. I did. And then I had words with the Lord. And He says, "Allow me to lift you up. I allow you to preach my word. And so you have to suffer for it." Why? "I'll tell you later," He says. "But you're going to love it." Now look at these two guys. Here goes this brother who's cheated. Some of you have relatives that have done this. I know. We've had a couple in our family too. And he's cheated everybody. He took the money. He bought the 5,000 square foot house in South Salem, in that area that has those big mansions. Now they're both dead. Just like that. He built all those barns, and now he's left them to some ungrateful children. And he's standing before God with his brother, naked. He has achieved nothing of what he did. That's what Christ is saying. He said, wait. He will get what's coming to him. And if you're not greedy, you will get what's coming to you, because your inheritance is yet to come. The message of this gospel is, never lose sight of the real inheritance that God has given us. Don't fight in this world too much over things that you've lost. This life, we are not equal. We don't all get a fair break. Some of us have had a tougher time than others. But God is about to reset the clock to zero. All of these variations are all part of the test of life. It is not going to last. I think so much of my high school reunion. I learned so much there. I've been to my 30th. I can't imagine going to my 40th, which is, I'm halfway to that now. Oh my gosh. And but you know what's really interesting is you meet people. Now, I'm from Los Angeles, and I met one person who lived in Beverly Hills. I met another friend of mine who lived in Pacoima. Anybody know where Pacoima is? Not a very good place to live. And you know what? It didn't matter. And it won't matter on the last day. You meet the beauty queen, the drama queen, the jock, the one you were jealous of. I was always the last one picked in PE, you know? That, really. And you look at him now, you know? And you look at him, you say, yes! I lived long enough to see this. You know? And the nerd is the one that with all the money, you know? And it's like, oh my God! Oh. But that's what heaven is like. That's exactly what's going to happen in heaven. And all of the stuff that people have done and cheated, they cheated somebody and took some money, they're going to lose it all. And they're going to be so humiliated. That's probably purgatory right there. Oh my God. So Jesus says, I think what he's inviting us to do here in this gospel, which is so real, you know, this problem has existed as long as there have been people. But he says, I invite you as my children to pray to the Holy Spirit when you're really in trouble with some issue and you don't feel your prayers are being answered the way you like. Could be anything. I invite you to allow the Spirit to lift you off the plane of your earthly existence for just a moment and take a look at things from my point of view. And my point of view is, you have died. How does it look now? How do you feel? How are you going to act as you prepare for that moment? That's the hope that we have. And so our Lord reminds us then, you have an inheritance that will never pass away. You have not been cheated, and you never will.